Programming is supported by Topline Construction Firm, your local women-owned roofing contractor based out of Shoreview, Minnesota. Roof replacement, both retail and insurance work. More information at toplineconstructionfirm.com.
You're listening to a recording of a live radio show on NPR News. If you want to listen to us in real time, you can stream our show live weekdays at 9 and 11 a.m. Central. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
I'm Carrie Miller. This is NPR News. Now to the sound of protest. No justice to me. It's us against police. Every time I turn around, they shoot another brother down. Our conversation today, how does the music of protest in 2018 compare, respond to those iconic songs we associate with the 1960s? Now, many of the themes resonate in both eras, authority, race, and justice. And you can hear all of these musicians reaching out to activate their listeners. Listen to Sam Cooke with A Change Is Gonna Come.
It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come.
So as our guests join us, I want to hear from you this morning. Is there a song, contemporary or not, that you think speaks directly to injustice? What does the music say to you? Here's the phone number, 651-227-6000. 800-242-2828, and on Twitter at Carrie NPR. We're going to play a lot of music this hour. We're going to talk to our guests, and maybe we'll find a few songs that you suggest as well. I want to hear if there's a song, contemporary or not, that you think really speaks directly to injustice. And then what does that music say to you? 651-227-6000 on Twitter at Carrie NPR. Brother Ali is with us. As you know, he's a musician and rapper and a member of the Rhymesayers Hip Hop Collective. And Brother Ali, welcome back. Good to talk to you again. Long time no
chat.
Good to
talk to you, Kay. Yeah.
Thanks for doing this. Yeah. Rodney Carmichael is with us. He writes about hip hop music for National Public Radio, and he's with us from Rodney, are you in D.C.? Welcome.
Yes, I am. I'm in D.C. Thanks for having me.
Really good to have you on the show. So, brother, I want to play a little more Sam Cooke here. Man, we should just play Sam Cooke every day, all day, right? Through the show. And hear what you hear. So let's listen.
Somebody keep telling me don't hang around. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come.
Brother, tell me what you hear in that.
Well, it's interesting because for my generation, a lot of us really fell in love with that song when we saw Spike Lee use it in his biopic about Malcolm X. Mm-hmm. And that's a moment in Malcolm's life when he's just left the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and he's striking out on his own and is really aware that he's at risk of losing his life. And, you know, Spike Lee has those famous like dolly shots where he shows the main person in the film standing still, but they're also moving. And so the world is just kind of moving around them.
Right.
And so for me, that song will always be related to that film. And it's always just kind of really spoken to the feeling of just being at the same time helpless, but and hopeful. that, like, I feel completely helpless in this world. I have no idea how things are going to change, and I have no idea how we're going to survive this. But at the same time, I also, my head doesn't know how to get out of this, but my heart knows that we will make it through this.
You know, Rodney, you can hear Cook, as Brother Ali is saying, talking about bigotry and fear, but you can also hear, even as the music builds, you can also hear his hope and optimism, kind of against the odds, building too. What's the song say to you?
Well, yeah, I really like what Brother Ali said about it, and definitely takes me back to that movie. I think it reflects a lot of the hope and optimism that kind of define that era. You know, when we think about the civil rights movement, the 50s, the 60s, and, you know, this generation that's fighting against Jim Crow and just coming out of Jim Crow and starting to feel some sense of hope despite, you know, the major mountain that they were still in the process of moving.
You know, Rodney, the other thing is that music is so, in that song, is so orchestral. And, I mean, it's the juxtaposition for me between this smoothness and this orchestral music and then the power of the lyrics. Today, I feel like the music, perhaps, and maybe you'll think of some songs where this doesn't apply, but the music, the you know, anger and the power of the music reflects what the lyrics are saying. There was a contrast there. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's definitely something to the, you know, the relationship with beauty and its ability to encapsulate hope. And, you know, really the beauty in that song and in so much of this music is really tied to something spiritual. That there are very few, if any, meaningful worldly and material indications or even political indications that things are moving in the right direction. And so the feeling of hope has to be tied to something, you know, supernatural. It's got to be tied to something spiritual. Mm-hmm. And so that's what those strings always remind me of. You know, and then there are songs like this that might not speak to overtly political topics. But, you know, I think about Donny Hathaway and others that have these songs that are really, you know, orchestral like that, that really, you know, give us a means to hold on and give us a means to keep going.
On Twitter, listener says, "Hell You Tombout" by Janelle Monáe from 2015, listing, shouting the names of Black Americans who have been killed by police or in racial related violence. Mallory says, "Strange Fruit" by Nina Simone has been on my mind lately with the new lynching museum in Alabama. Tim says, "Neil Young, Looking for a Leader" from about 2007. And to Mike in St. Paul, "Hi, Mike, what's your music?"
The song that has stayed with me for practically 50 years is "What's Going On" by Marvin Gaye. His line, "War is not the answer," is as timely as ever.
Rodney, is that a song that you would naturally go to for, you know, an iconic protest song? I think so.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, so much of the story of Black music and throughout the 20th century is this story of people, of voiceless people, you know, finding their voice and expressing their passion and their pain and gaining this sense of empowerment. And, you know, that "What's Going On" is one of those songs. And I think we've seen it move all the way up through from the blues to R&B and soul and funk to hip hop today.
Let me grab a call here to Tad in Frederick, Wisconsin. Hey, Tad, what's your music?
Hey, I'm going with what they call themselves, the only band that ever mattered, The Clash. Kind of changing it up with the song "White Riot."
Yeah. Well, why do you think about that one? Tell me.
Well, I think it's a tongue-in-cheek kind of song, but The Clash were always a political band, and I remember dancing as a little kid to that song when my dad would play it, and I think it's about, you know, social injustice and, you know, why don't white people or regular people, whatever, rise up and stand up for what's right and humanism, I guess.
Yeah. So, brother, does the Clash come to mind when you think about contemporary protest music and then the way it reflects or compares to some of these iconic songs from the 60s? Where does the Clash fit into that?
Yeah, I think they absolutely have a role to play, and it really is a choir, you know, and everybody adds their own tone and texture. And I really appreciate, you know, in the last two comments, you know, mentioning that essentially we're talking about in American music, we're talking about music that was created by the Black community in each generation, where, you know, where other people have been able to come and participate and contribute, but it really is Black music. And I also appreciate the last caller mentioning white people. And I feel like in our really distinctly Minnesota conversation about these topics, maybe our natural inclination towards politeness and, you know, being speaking about things in general terms means that we a lot of times don't ever really say what we're really talking about. So we might say race, or we might say racism, or we might talk about bigotry, but really we're talking about white supremacy, and we're talking about anti-Blackness, and the musical and cultural instruments that we have to address these things are really the spiritual and musical genius of the Black community that they've offered to the rest of the world. So I think it's really good that we really be specific about what we're talking about, so that we don't polite our way out of actually really dealing with what we're doing.
This is a really good point, because I was listening over the weekend to Macklemore and Ryan Lewis, White Privilege. And brother, you can hear them asking, where do I fit into this? Where do white people fit into this? So let's listen.
And most of us aren't even paying attention. It seems like we're more concerned with being called racist than we actually are with racism. I've heard that silence is an action, and God knows that I've been passive. What if I actually read an article, actually had a dialogue, actually looked at myself, actually got involved? If I'm aware of my privilege and do nothing at all, I don't know. Hip-hop has always been political, yes. It's the reason why this music connects. So what the f*** has happened to my voice if I stay silent when Black people are dying and I'm trying to be politically correct? I can book a whole tour, sell out the tickets, rap entrepreneur, built his own business. If I'm only in this for my own self-interest, not the culture that gave me a voice to begin with.
Rodney, we'll let that play a little bit in the background. Will you talk about that song?
Yeah, that's a powerful song. I mean, I think Macklemore is one of those rare artists, you know, rare white artists who was able to publicly acknowledge the privilege that he benefited from by being in or participating in what was originally a Black art form, or an art form started by people of color. But he did it in a way that, you know, he was really honest about. And I think most white artists don't necessarily take the time to dig deep and do that. I think the conundrum for him was that even as he was doing it, he was still reaping those benefits in ways, whether intended or not. And I think in some ways, you know, that became kind of a weird place to be. Kind of a, you know, rocking a hard place type of place to be. But I still definitely respect the fact that he was able to broaden out these conversations and introduce them to his audience, who, for the most part, I'm sure, was not thinking about these things or thinking about white privilege, for instance, in the way that he made it, you know, a really mainstream topic.
I mean, do you hear genuine searching and seeking in that song? I know he's been criticized for some of the things that you just said,
right?
But
yeah
this sounds real.
I think that Macklemore is you know, if anything, he's sincere and earnest. You know, I mean, sometimes people have said almost to a fault, so you know, you definitely can't take that away from him. I think he's done a lot of sincere soul searching around this, and you know, I think it would be dope if more artists like Macklemore, specifically, you know, white artists that are participating in these spaces, that you know, were kind of created by people of color, would take the time to. It's always going to be fraught with a lot of things, you know, obviously that he dealt with. But I think it's better to step into that territory and that terrain than not to do it.
Rodney
Carmichael. And to reap that benefit.
Rodney Carmichael is with us from NPR, where he writes about hip-hop music. Brother Ali is with us, rapper, community activist, member of the Rhymesayers Entertainment Hip-Hop Collective. And this is a conversation today about how the music of protest and activism in 2018 reflects, compares, responds to some of these songs, these iconic songs that we think of from the 60s, from the activism of the 60s. Many of the themes resonate. I think some of the music today talks back to some of that music from the 60s. I mean, you can hear a lot of the themes of injustice and race and authority in a lot of different ways. And so I'm asking you, as we talk about this and we play a lot of music this hour, is there a song, a contemporary song, or maybe a song from that era, from the era of the 60s, that speaks directly to injustice? And then talk to me about what that music says to you. 651-227-6000, 800-242-2828, and on Twitter at CarrieMPR. Eric says, "Atmosphere, pure evil." Another listener says, 15 minutes till midnight. By initials A, song about social awareness and bringing light to topics that people don't typically think about on a day-to-day basis. And to the phones here to Mark in Mound. Mark, thanks so much for waiting. I really appreciate it. What's your song? Pick a song, if you will.
One. They call it Democracy by Bruce Coburn, Canadian.
Uh-huh.
Time's passed a little bit, but kind of reflects on what wouldn't seem that rare today in today's political climate. The lyrics are powerful, and so much so I memorized a portion of them, and that's stuck in my head just searingly so. And it's it's a great strong song, and he was always, and I don't know if he remains so, but he always remained, it was a real strong voice for one of his areas of interest was Central America,
okay.
Time and injustices in Central America, and spoke back even into the Reagan era of what we were doing with our secret war
Mark,
in Central America at the time.
Mark, thanks very much for the call. Appreciate that. Megan says, I think of the Kobe song, Don't You Cry For Me. The video is so powerful and the lyrics are haunting. Please help me chop this tree down or hold me from underneath. Anthony says, Ben Harper, Black Rain. So, Rodney, you gave us a great list, and we chose a couple of songs. Let's play Fight the Power by Public Enemy, and we can talk about this music. Let's listen.
Gotta give us what we need. Hey. Our freedom of speech is freedom of death. We got to fight the powers that be. Fight the power. Fight the power. Fight the power.
I know the obvious reason that ended up on your list, but tell me more, Rodney, if you will.
Well, again, we were kind of talking about that transition earlier from, you know, over the decades and the lineage of black music, you know, going from the blues, plaintive music to soul and the hope that it kind of instilled into the movement during the 60s. You know, so now we're in the 80s. We're in 89. It's hip hop and this is Public Enemy. And, you know, rap brings, you know, it has a lot of that same passion. But, you know, these are generations removed now. This is a generation that has witnessed their grandparents struggle under oppression, their parents, and heard stories going even further back. So, yeah, there's a lot more anger. There's a lot more frustration. There's a lot more righteous indignation. And I think that you hear all of that in Fight the Power and in a lot of the protest anthems that have come out of the hip-hop era.
So, Brother Ali, how do you think Public Enemy in a song like Fight the Power is seen today by the, you know, the teenagers and the people in their early 20s who are getting into activism?
I mean, I've heard that song played in you know, the Black Lives Matter rallies in Minneapolis,
huh.
Like when the precinct was shut down. So, I mean, I think it's definitely known and understood that that has its role. And, you know, all the samples that are all through Public Enemy's music, you know, like Rodney said, it comes out in the late 80s, but all of the samples are from the 60s and 70s. And there's this kind of this general reverence and understanding that this is that this is a continual linear, that there's continuity in this struggle.
Right.
You know, like Rodney mentioned, the generational continuity of this is a continuation of that fight. So to sample, you know, Sly and the Family Stone and James Brown and the things that are all through Public Enemy's music, even it's a collage of those little tiny pieces. It's kind of like this feeling that like all of the people in the past, the ancestry, that they're all here and they're all very present in this music. And so it might take a different form and it might have a little bit different texture, but it's all still there. Sam Cooke is in Public Enemy's music.
To the phones to Lawford in Inver Grove Heights. Hey, Lawford, hi. What's the music
morning,
for you?
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Two quick songs. One is Stand Up For Your Rights by Bob Marley and the Wailers.
Yes.
The second song would probably be more important would be War, again, by Bob Marley and the Wailers. So that's all I have to say.
Bob Marley does it for you. Cool. Brother Ali, Stevie Wonder ended up on your list. Love's in Need of Love Today. Tell me why.
Well, a few reasons. First and foremost is that, you know, I really believe in this need for that music provides, especially in the modern world where a lot of times we have a lot of distance between us and meaning and beauty and the idea of the holy and the idea of, you know, cosmic truth. You know, we're really focused on just our material reality and even political reality. Whereas music really reinforces the reality that we're not creating truth, but we're discovering it. That truth is a cosmic pole that goes to the center of existence, that through the exploration that we go through and the creative process, we actually are able to enter that world of meaning and bring something back. And so when Stevie Wonder talks about love is in need of love today, he's saying love is a living, breathing reality, that it's not just an idea, and that our relationship with love, the manners that we show the reality of love and the way we interact with it have great meaning. So that song has always been one for me that I feel like he's addressing the situation, also giving us hope. But then also Jay-Z just sampled it. In his beautiful album that came out last year, 444, you know, again, just talking about this continuity between generations.
Let's listen. So, Rodney, also, as with Sam Cooke, there's kind of this deceptively easy, casual swing to it, and then this steely kind of message, right, at the center of the song. I love those kinds of songs. Would Stevie Wonder have made your list?
Definitely. I mean, I was just sitting here trying to think of how many Stevie Wonder songs could make a list like this, and I'm sure there are a lot. I mean, he's one of the geniuses of the 20th century, and he definitely was speaking to the times and the temperature and what was going on, you know. So he's definitely a huge one in that regard.
James says on Twitter, two songs from Bob Dylan, Lonesome Death of Hattie Carroll and Hurricane. And Mallory says a Tribe Called Quest song, We the People, talks about racism, homophobia, xenophobia, et cetera, in the age of Trump. To Melissa in Shakopee. Hey, Melissa. Hi.
Hi. Thanks for having me on today.
Sure.
I really wanted to give a shout out to some of the more contemporary artists that have really made a difference in my life as a social worker. Social
Good.
Justice is
Good.
A key component to the work that I do. And one of the big Introductions to the more contemporary era for me would be Yellfire by Michael Franti. The common lyrics are those who start wars never fight them, and those who fight wars never like them. And so having a brother that I lost due to PTSD after the war, I can definitely relate to that sentiment. So that's something that I've struggled with. But also another really amazing contemporary artist that I wanted to mention was Nako and Medicine for the People.
Hmm.
I think that they've done a great job of really becoming the voice for the water protectors after Standing Rock. The album Hoka, and I could not pick a song from that album because for me it's been my saving grace in a difficult period of time in our societies. And so I think that that's a beautiful, I believe it was chosen for a Native American Album of the Year this year. And so just a really amazing voice of a young person who's put themselves out there and spread that message to our community. And I also wanted to give a shout out to Brother Ali because I really appreciate his music as well.
Great. So Melissa, I really like the idea that you said you're a social worker, right?
Yes,
that
ma'am.
This music nourishes you day to day, right? To get
Absolutely.
Up and get back out
yep.
there and do the work.
Yep, definitely. And, you know, in these times, it's not always easy, but to have this music as my my anthem to kind of keep me going and keep me motivated in these difficult times has definitely been a blessing. And so I appreciate the show.
Here's Yell Fire. Melissa, thanks.
Never sends you an omen. A revolution just arrived like the morning. Ring the alarm, we come to wake up the snoring. They're telling you to never worry about the future. They're telling you to never worry about the torture. They're telling you that you will never see the horror. Spend it all today and we will bill you tomorrow. Three-piece suits and bank accounts in Bahamas. Wall Street crime will never send you to the...
Rodney, you think this is a case of... defining protest music, or is it good enough to say we know it when we hear it, and that's enough? Do you have a definition for it?
Well, you know, I think what's interesting is a lot of times the true measure of protest music is that it's usually not as widely embraced in its time as it is after the fact. And I think even when you look at these times that we're in right now, we're in a really strong period of protest and protest music. And
yeah.
I think when we look back a generation from now, you know, we'll definitely be talking about this era and artists like Brother Ali, artists like a lot of the artists that we're talking about today, and paying the same reverence to them that we pay to Sam Cooke's and Marvin Gaye's and Nina Simone's and on and on.
Brother Ali, does this feel like a particularly rich time for this kind of music? And if so, why?
I mean, I think each time has its own tone and has its own unique kind of alchemy of the different ingredients, you know. I think that when we listen to the music of our parents and grandparents' generation, most of their songs were about love. And so when they spoke on political realities, it was understood that the undercurrent was always based on love. One of the things that I wonder about the music of my generation and younger is whether or not a lot of it is still rooted in love. And I think that the great ones really are, you know. So for me, I think about artists like J. Cole and Kendrick Lamar and people like Sa Rock, whose music it really is rooted. And I would say the same for Janelle Monáe, that their music is really, you know, rooted in love, so that when they speak out, it's with that understanding and still animated by an idea of the beauty and the holy. Some of the times I wonder in this modern climate, so much of the music feels like it's really lonely. Like when I hear my son's generation of music, I just hear this like deep sense of loneliness. And so I would hope that the music would continue to bring people together And that's one of the things that I really love about actual protests. And they say, well, you guys are just marching in the street together and you're yelling at nobody and nobody's listening. And sometimes they never cover it. And I don't necessarily think that that's true. But if nothing else, at least people get to be in a space together and work on something together and actually, you know, find hearts and minds that are similar to ours.
I think that's such an interesting observation about music sounding lonely. And, you know, sometimes I think the anger in the music maybe overwhelms what I think I might hear as, you know, solitariness or lonely. Yeah, I like it that you're looking for that sense of love and beauty in this music. And that doesn't mean that the song cannot be angry, right? You can still hear that in that kind of song.
Yeah, well, I mean, when you know, Dr. Cornel West always points out that when you love somebody, you hate their suffering. And so, you know, and Roddy mentioned Righteous Indignation and Public Enemy.
Right.
You know, and Public Enemy, for example, is a group of, you know, black men that have been together for 30 years.
Wow.
And there's so many different types of people in that group. You know, they've been on my records and I've been on theirs. And I've toured with them and performed with them and traveled with them. And I mean, these are men that have been together for a long period of time and that have worked through just countless differences and personality, you know, nuances and things like that, and have really held it together. So when I hear Fight the Power, I don't hear anger. Like, that music actually sounds really fun to me with you know, with Chuck D's lyrics over the top really being focused on a message. And then even when I hear music now, I don't hear anger as much as I hear sorrow and despair.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, when I hear that, I feel like, you know, me as a 40-year-old, like, I'm not serving these kids well enough and I'm not loving them thoroughly enough and I'm not there for them like I need to be. And it just gives me a sense of wanting to put my arms around people and encourage them.
Call here from Susie in Minneapolis. Hey, Susie, thanks for waiting. What's your song? What's
Hi
your
there.
Music? Hi.
I went down to the demonstration to get my fair share of abuse, the Stones.
All right. Thanks. Thanks for the call. To Gretchen in Melrose. Hey, Gretchen, what's your song?
Hi. My song is The Jailer by Erin McCowan. She is a queer artist, and so a lot of her music sort of has this underlying feeling of, like, protest and searching for justice. And The Jailer, I actually heard it not long after Trump was elected. It just resounded with me. There's lines in there about how the jailer wants to, like, keep a hold of his power, and he's afraid of letting go of that, and he just wants to, you know, kind of keep everyone under control and build, you know, like, almost build walls between people. But then there's lines in there where it's a sense that people are going to be fighting back, because, like, how do you stop a fire? How do you stop water? How do you stop a culture? And that just really resounded with me when I heard it the first time, and it just hasn't stopped since.
Is Gretchen, is that the album or is that the individual song by Erin McCowan?
That's the individual song,
okay,
called The Jailer.
I haven't heard of her. Thanks. Thanks really for the call. I want to play one of Rodney's songs here, The Big Payback by James Brown. Rodney, say something about this music as we listen to it.
Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, I think this is an interesting one because, you know, it comes out in 1973. It's meant to be for a blaxploitation film, Hell Up in Harlem, that, you know, the filmmakers decide not to use for whatever reason. So James Brown releases it on his own. And I think it's, you know, it's a funk classic. And it's one of those songs that I think wasn't necessarily intended to be a protest song or to have that message be as broad. It was probably, you know, more so constructed specifically for the plot of a film. But, you know, this revenge theme just happened to fit. It fit the times. It fit, you know, a lot of the militancy that was happening in the early 70s and that whole attitude of, you know, took my woman and you know, that ain't right. And you know, we coming back at you. That was just the vibe, you know, and it just really made sense.
Rodney, great to have you on the show. Please come back.
Oh, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Brother
Ali. Thanks for having me on with Brother Ali, too.
Absolutely. Brother Ali, anytime, anywhere. Thank you.
Thank you, Rodney. Thank you, Carrie.
This was a recording of a live radio show on NPR News. To add your voice to our discussion, you can call in at 800-242-2828 or tweet Carrie at KERRINPR. And if you miss us live, you'll find all of our shows by subscribing to this podcast. If you have questions, you can email us at talk@npr.org.